We should be talking to Sue Hines. Are you there, Sue?
I am.
That's good. So, last week we were talking to Danielle.
A few weeks ago now, we were talking to Danielle Ballantyne from your side about the Carer Gateway. And this week we're talking to Sue, who is a carer. So we get both perspectives.
Sides.
Yeah, that's right. Tell us a little bit about your experience as a carer, Sue. How do you find it? And what are some of the bigger challenges for you?
I think in reality, most people who become a carer certainly don't normally plan to be a carer. So in my case, my partner, who's quite a bit older than me, he went through various cancer treatments that left him feeling fairly frail about 6 years ago. So we went through various issues there. And then about close to 2 years ago, he then got a diagnosis of something called Parkinson's Plus. So I've met quite a few other carers now. And realise we all have a very similar issue in that, and of course now he's calling in the background, in that no one really plans for it, all of that kind of thing. Let me just put him a little... Okay, so just hold on a moment while I... And this is the life...
Well, this is the life of a carer, isn't it? So it's nice to see that we're actually talking, experience the whole process.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
Absolutely.
Oh, shit.
It's something that... I know from speaking to other carers, I suppose the two things that tend to end up happening is, one, you feel an incredible amount of guilt because you feel like you should always probably be doing more. And the second part seems to be an extraordinary amount of, I suppose, sadness because it's not what you planned for. A lot of your retirement dreams, things that you were planning for the future. So it depends obviously on the person that you're caring for. Sometimes it's only temporary, but for a lot of people it's a recognition of an ongoing decline.
And I think the point you made there, Sue, about the fact that for many, many people, it's not what you ever planned or expected or thought would happen. And yet it can come on, it can be a requirement that's, you know, suddenly lands in your lap with absolutely no notice.
Yes, absolutely.
So
absolutely. We're all beginners, and that's why I smile, because the guilt thing really gets me, because we all get it and we all have it. But in reality, none of us have really done this before. So we're all learners as we're going along.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of, I think it's a good thing to speak with others and understand that no one's going to be an expert at it, because we're all learning as we're going, and everybody's person that they're looking after is different.
Yeah.
And I think also, as you say about the guilt, I think everybody, especially in the beginning going through it, thinks they're the only one that have got the guilt, or, you know, are feeling the bad thoughts, or are feeling the way that they are feeling. But, you know, with people talking about it, at least they know that everybody is feeling exactly what they're feeling, you know.
Validating that it's normal. It's just not a nice feeling to walk around with, because I know in my case I also do work, so even when I'm away, I especially feel guilty because I feel like I should be there.
Yeah.
But I mean, thanks to modern technology, I can certainly check to see everything's okay. But it's still, you know, something that carers do go through, especially if it's their partner. is you're living it 24/7. You really don't get much of a break. Mm. And that's where things like Carer's Gateway comes in, so incredibly useful.
Mm. We'll talk about Carer Gateway in a moment, but one thing that you just made me think in my head, it sounds like you found quite a good support network of other carers where you can talk and you know, share some of your experience. How did you find those other carers? Because I imagine it's quite lonely when you first become a carer. So how do you find others that are in a similar boat to you?
So in the case of my partner, who I can hear is about to probably drop in on me again.
That's all right. We understand.
Did the phone drop out? Here we go. Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah, don't worry. Okay, so what originally happened was I was looking for support networks for Parkinson's because I thought there had to be something around. And the reason I chose that was the symptoms seemed to be so bizarrely wide-ranging that I thought if I could find a group that understood that kind of bizarre wide variety of symptoms, that maybe I'd find, you know, my group of people that I could bring him to. So the reality of that was that I did find there were two local groups, and I happened to the first one, and that's when I realised that it still didn't answer a whole heap of my questions because the people with Parkinson's were sitting in the room, and I didn't want to seem really rude, but I did start asking a lot of questions. Which then kind of started off with a suggestion of mine down the track after being there for a while about why not a carers only group for Parkinson's, which now occurs. And I found that invaluable along with other carers because we're always, you know, wanting to keep the dignity of the people that we're looking after. But to ask the questions in front of them is quite a challenge because, you know, you don't want them to lose their dignity. And there is such a wide range of symptoms that I know that not everybody certainly has the same thing, and not everyone has a tremor. Not everybody has issues with walking. So it was just about asking those carers about, well, what have you learnt, because I don't want to reinvent the wheel.
And what about, let's talk a little bit about the Carer Gateway. What do you find so valuable about the Carer Gateway as a carer?
So originally how I found them was feeling desperately alone and certainly very trapped. There was there's an issue with Parkinson's where certainly the person with Parkinson's and the person caring for them get very little sleep. A lot of the activity that happens at night, so you start to go a little bit balmy due to lack of sleep. And the questions that I had were starting, everything was focused on him. Everything was about his medical appointments, what tests he needed, what medications he needed, what aids could I get him that would help him with his daily living. And then I started to realise that routine was very important, and I don't know what made me, it dawned on me that if something happened to me, I'm the only person that actually knows everything. We don't have any children, we've got some friends, but I mean, that's a big ask. So I started doing a bit of research and was looking for some kind of template of trying to look up, you know, writing down what you need to give someone if you were caring for them. And that's what led me to the Carer Gateway, because they've got an emergency care plan, which was exactly what I was looking for. Because if I got hit by a bus, or if I got pneumonia and something happened to me, God forbid, that there would be something there written down that already had that routine in it, and also had the issues of if there were any behavioural issues, what would calm them down, what foods they liked, what their routine was. So that was fantastic. And then a friend of mine who had said, oh, you know, Carer Gateway has all these support systems, and it was COVID at the time, so I was already feeling quite isolated with my partner. And one of the other symptoms of Parkinson's can be hallucinations and delusions. So he already thought we had a house full of people when it's only the two of us. But we were in lockdown for 2 weeks at a particular point. I can't talk to you now. I'm so sorry. So yes, New South Wales Health were ringing at the time to check on me, and they were saying, you know, is anyone else in the house besides you and your partner? And I was saying, no, it's just the two of us. And of course he overheard it and was going, no, there's 20 other people in the house. Thank God they couldn't hear anything. I mean, it really was a challenging time,
sure,
where you have to find a sense of humour. And it was Carer Gateway that, when I rang them, certainly had a lot of support systems in there that was just for the carer. And that was such a change, because everything, as I said, is always focused on the person that you're caring for. So to have someone asking me about how I was doing was really eye-opening, because I kind of tried to survive, switch off, and not think about me, just think about what needed to be done next, which was most essential to me at the time.
Yeah, and I think you raise a really good point there about carers need to look after themselves, because what if something happens to you? It's a really important point that you touch on there. Look, we better let you get back to your your caring for your husband. Can you quickly just tell us, though, the best way to make contact with the Carer Gateway?
It's a number and I can't remember.
Oh, don't worry, we'll put it on our Facebook page later. That's right. So you access it by phone, do you?
They've got so many different supports out there. Mm-hmm. I've recommended some of my friends to ring them who were struggling with themselves, and they've got free counselling. They've got so many different services out there. And there really is no shame in asking for help. I'm a very active, pragmatic kind of person. And I really think that you've got to ask for help before you get to that burnout stage.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much, Sue. Really appreciate hearing from, you know, someone who is caring for someone they love, as you say, 24/7. But also hearing that there's support and assistance out there. So thank you so much for sharing
for giving us your
experience.
Time as well.
Yeah.
No worries. All the best.
All the best to you and your husband. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it's definitely a different